This week on America Interrupted from the PBS NewsHour. Amid the chaos of the pandemic, protests following another police shooting of a black man, devastating wildfires and hurricanes, President Trump accepted his party's nomination at a Republican National Convention like no other. So, how did the president defend his record and make the case for another 4 years? And were Republicans able to energize Trump's base while also winning over voters on the fence? Listen and subscribe to America Interrupted wherever you listen to podcasts.
A letter released by UN human rights officials today blasted a new national security law in Hong Kong imposed 2 months ago by China. And with its now customary fire, Beijing shot back, telling the UN to, quote, stop meddling. Special correspondent Divya Gopalan tells us now what has changed in Hong Kong and what has not.
This is one of the few places where evidence of months of anti-government protests last year is still displayed openly. The Yao Lei Fong restaurant is known for its traditional roast meats and a timeline of the 2019 protest movement. But look a little closer and you'll find black tape covering the slogans that became the anthems for the protests. Restaurant owner Jerry Chong says they've obscured anything which could be defined as subversive after China's Communist Party imposed a wide-ranging national security law on July the 1st.
Not a single person could tell us or define what was against the law. What can you say? What can't you say? It's really hard to say how I feel, but there's fear in everyone's hearts.
Beijing says the law is necessary to bring stability after months of sometimes violent anti-government protests last year. It targets crimes of secession, subversion, terrorism, and collusion with foreign powers. One of the leaders of the democracy movement here, activist Joshua Wong, says he is in the crosshairs of the law. He disbanded his pro-democracy political party hours before it came into effect.
My life is in risk. And I'm not sure will the Hong Kong police knock on my door 5 a.m. in the morning, storm into my house and arrest me suddenly.
Also raising fear, the newly set up Beijing-controlled security agency, which operates outside the city's legal system. Officers can investigate and extradite suspects to the communist-controlled courts of mainland China.
There is a particular clause, which in very rare circumstances will enable a case which occurs here to be transferred to the mainland for trial.
Renville Cross was Hong Kong's longest-serving chief prosecutor and is now an honorary professor at two of the city's top universities.
Now, as I understand it, that will only happen extremely rarely and in very clearly defined circumstances, circumstances where Hong Kong itself is not able to handle the case.
The law marks Beijing's full takeover of Hong Kong, which was promised 50 years of relative autonomy after the British handover in 1997. In response, the Trump administration removed the special trade and economic privileges granted to Hong Kong, saying it's now just like any other part of China.
We have our independent legal systems. We have our independent currency. We are using common law as our legal system, the rule of law. It's still very different from China.
Pro-Beijing legislative councillor Felix Chung, who represents the textile and garment industry, says the United States is complicit in stripping away the city's highly regarded international status.
I don't think Hong Kong is changed by that law. Hong Kong is changed by the international conflicts, especially between US and China.
But according to the American Chamber of Commerce, the national security law is affecting the business environment. 40% of US companies surveyed had plans to move capital, assets, or operations out of the city. Police can raid premises without a court warrant, and they can order internet firms to remove content or seize their equipment. Online media giants like Facebook and Google say they've stopped responding directly to data requests from the Hong Kong police. A number of activists, students, and protesters have already been arrested for social media posts. And with no clear wording of what is exactly illegal, any activity, secessionist, demanding independence, saying Hong Kong is not China, could be prosecutable. At stake is the city's freedom of speech and vibrant media industry, which doesn't exist anywhere else in China.
According to the Hong Kong government, the national security law targets only a small minority of lawbreakers. But it has triggered widespread unease. We've certainly felt it while putting together this report with a number of previously outspoken figures on both sides of the political divide refusing our interview requests due to concerns that what they say could potentially be used against them. Although it is here in the local press where the most chilling effect of the new law can be felt.
The Apple Daily is the city's most read pro-democracy newspaper. On August 11, 200 police stormed the newsroom in a raid that was live-streamed to a shocked city. They arrested top executives, including the paper's billionaire owner, Jimmy Lai, who has strong ties in Washington. He faces charges of colluding with foreign countries, a charge he told the NewsHour late last month that's open to interpretation.
They are very strict about collusion with the foreign power. Even now, accepting your interview could be collusion with foreign power. So I have to be cautious of what I say, you know. So this is the fact of life here now.
The political landscape is also rapidly changing after a dozen Democratic candidates who do not support the law were disqualified from Legislative Council elections. Then, in an unprecedented move, the September vote was postponed for a year. Authorities say due to the pandemic, but the opposition says it's to wipe out Democratic support. Art, culture and academics are also under pressure to become more Beijing-friendly. Public libraries have pulled books by democracy advocates, while many publishers and bookstores have started self-censoring. Bookshop owner Daniel Lee says there's still demand for books about the protests, and he'll keep them on the shelves as long as he can.
The greatest worry is surely that they come in one day and tell me that those books, even there has not been a book list, are banned from being sold, and I've already breached the law.
On the streets of Hong Kong, there are still pockets of defiance, even as it's adapting to the law. Lenin walls, named after the singer for their messages of solidarity and democracy, were a distinct feature of the protests, which disappeared when the law came into effect. They are now sprouting again in many places across the city, this time as a blank mosaic.
I would say that national security law tried to kill Hong Kong, but it can't kill Hong Kong people. With the spirit of Hong Kongers, we will continue to resist and fight back.
A message that while Beijing can force the city in line with the rest of the country almost overnight, it will take a lot more than a law to change the people of the city. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Divya Gopalan in Hong Kong.